Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Happy Monday.
Yeah. How was your weekend, Bruce? I think a couple days ago you spent some time with one of your sons anyway.
Yep. Yep.
Football and UFC at the same time.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Way to spend some time with the son.
The game was actually at the Cowboy Stadium, but I was down there at Aggieland watching the game that was here where I live down there in a hotel, along with the UFC fight concurrently going back and forth on the screen. So it was it was fun. It was a good visit, and good time was had by all. So it's kind of good to get down there and visit for two reasons. You know, one, because it's my kid, and two, being the alma mater and all. It's always fun to see.
Yep.
That was just a field when I went here. That type of thing.
I'm sure he appreciates those stories too.
Oh, I try to keep them at a minimum, you know. Try to keep them at a minimum. So always threaten him with a mainline dorm experience in the middle of campus. Boy, you know, you talk about you don't have a choice but to meet people, a lot of people real fast, because you're running people out of your area like rats. It's pretty interesting, but it was good and good visit. And I'll be coming to LA here Friday. So
watch for
a complete social media. Yeah. Complete social media meltdown. There you're going to see some folks and going to a function at a very posh place. So I'll be might even do some Instagram live or whatever, so we'll see how that goes, but it's certainly going to be a big shindig. So looking forward to that and connecting with some clients and friends out there in LA, and doing a little mini tour out that way. So how about yourself? How's your
week? Yeah, it's going well. Still rocking and rolling with all the different clients and ventures and whatnot. It's been an exciting couple weeks. Today, actually, you know, obviously is the last day of September, so got off to a fast and furious start this morning with the Vavlet team. So that was good. You know, we're out beating the drum today. You know, it's the end of the month, so end of month sales and whatnot. So that was a fun training this morning. This weekend was great. You know, it was the first weekend in quite some time that, you know, hasn't been filled with, you know, this, that, or, you know, the other thing. Was just actually got to kind of watch some football, which was nice. So other than the Cowboys loss yesterday, that was kind of,
it was
tough to swallow, but
that was tough. It was tough. But you knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, you kind of got that feeling that, you know, could they really get four in a row, you know, and win on the road in New Orleans? Yeah, I kind of thought that was the game they were gonna choke on. But oh well, it was good nonetheless. So that's great. So how long are you in town for?
Just a couple of days. Friday through Sunday. So if I get a chance to come down your way, I definitely will make the pilgrimage down to Orange County. But yeah, so far just kind of Ubering, getting where I need to go, type of thing right now. But hey, you never know.
Yeah, yep. Well, keep me posted.
Yes,
if you are
Will do.
Pass the orange curtain.
There you go.
Check it out. Or if obviously we're up in LA for some reason, which does happen on the weekends.
It can. It certainly can. Yeah, let me know.
All the relatives are up that way. So,
okay.
Awesome. Well, I'm really excited, Bruce, because we've got a great guest on the line with us here today. He's a friend, someone I'm proud to call a friend. You know, and even though we haven't, you know, done any official business deals together, I've been watching and observing his work ethic, his demeanor, just his all out hustle, you know, for a couple years now. And it's been fun to watch. Right. And proud to call my friend, proud to call him, you know, a fellow entrepreneur, Mr. Ali Mahmood. And so he is actually, just a bit of background for the listeners out there on Ali. He was actually raised in Iraq and graduated from the University of Baghdad with a computer science major. In 2010, he actually moved to the U.S. And, you know, like many immigrants, he, you know, didn't basically know a lick of English. Came to the U.S., no knowledge of the language whatsoever. And he opened his business around wholesale electronics. He actually has over 13 years of experience in management and team leadership, including the likes of Carpark, La Parking, and Golden Gate. So it's with great pride and pleasure I'd like to welcome Mr. Ali Mahmood to the show. Ali, welcome.
Justin, thank you so much. Well, that's really nice of you, all these words. It's really nice to hear someone say all these things and coming out from you. I really appreciate that, and thank you so much, and thanks for having me here with you guys, and Monday for everybody.
Yeah, happy Monday. It's our pleasure, Ali. You know, every once in a while, there's some people that, you know, come into your life, and like I've told you before, you know, you've been a great friend, and like I said, as a friend of mine, but also as a fellow coach, and you're definitely a fitness buff, and you have obviously successful businesses. You know, we're excited to have you on the show here today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. Thanks.
So I know I shared a bit about you, but, you know, in your own words, why don't you just tell the listeners out there a little bit, you know, as you would say, you know, give them a bit of a synopsis on who is Ali.
Yeah. So I'm originally, as you said, I was born and raised in Iraq, and I spent about most of my life in there. I left Iraq after the war, not exactly after the war. Like, I had left in 2008, and I had to travel around a little bit to just try to find my way to see where I can find a better life or something like that I can do, because I was always trying to find something to do. Even when I was back home, like, I always worked my way around, tried to make something better or something like that. And I finally, I got the opportunity to come to the United States, and it was really good decision that I made, and it was really good opportunity that I just jumped and risked it. I was like, I'll go. I did not know anybody in here. I did not speak the language, and I just jumped right there, and it's been really good with me. And as you said, I worked my way in here. I tried to meet people. I tried to communicate, try to make friends, try to make connections, and through work and social life in general. And thank God, everything was, I'll say, working good, because I see it even with the ups and downs that comes along the way. Things are going good. I worked with, like, I got an opportunity to work with the company in LA. First, when I got here, not speaking anything, they pushed me up right on the front. They put me in there, and from there, I start my life. And thank God, right now, everything is good. I'll say it's good. I'm still in the process, but I'm coming along the way. I know I can see the vision. It's coming up, that everything will be settled in the way that I want it, my vision, what it says. And running all around with my business, and you know all that, and I'm always around. And I see you, and we always talk about the things that in life, and we keep each other updated. That's pretty much like the whole like the process that I went through, you know, with a quick brief of it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I can imagine, you know, So talk a little bit more, if you would, about just that process of making the decision to leave your home country and come to the U.S. And, like, you know, what was going through your mind, and what things were you weighing in and factoring? And could you just talk a little bit about that process?
So, yeah, after the war, we did not really know what's going to be happening in there. We were prepared, like, this thing's going to get better or not better. But anyway, I was in high school, literally. I was just graduating high school, and I wanted to leave. I was like, I don't want to stay here. I have to leave. You know, things are not going great. I was trying to just to stay, or like try to feel like everything's going to be perfect or something. But I see it's not the way that I want it to be. And I start to look around to try to travel. I tried to travel to Europe, and it didn't work out. It was not that easy, and it didn't work out. And I always wanted to do it in the right way. You know, I didn't want to struggle. Problems in Iraq was a lot of, like, you know, all the things that in the media and stuff like that. I mean, it's so sad, but you know, you want to just create your own path. I can't just stay there. I wanted to leave. I had some problem personally. I had a problem there, and kind of with my family, we had a problem. That's why we all moved. You know, all my family left Iraq 2006. I stayed in Iraq 2 more years after I could leave. You know, and I couldn't leave right away because of some problem that I had in there. And so I traveled after that, 2008. I went to another country in the Middle East. And after that, I traveled somewhere else to try to make my way. I wanted to leave either Europe or Canada or Australia or the United States until I signed up with some program with it for a refugee, you know, like the way I came here, the United Nations, and it was really good for me. Yeah, I had to put all my, the things that I couldn't stay in Iraq for, and because it was happening, and a problem was like, it was not safe for me to be there. And thank God it worked out for me, and I got accepted in the United States, and I made it here, you know. It was, I mean, there's more details. It's in that process that in Iraq, especially, that it's kind of like, I don't want to be talking about it more, you know, it's like kind of personally, emotional things that I don't want to get to it. You know, I've told you some things about it, and, it was tough to stay there. It was not the right choice if you wanted to stay there for my situation that I couldn't stay. And so I had to make that decision, you know, and away from everybody, and no family here. And when I was first time I left Iraq, I was 23 years old, and I never left like anywhere by myself. And I came here straight, and it was all started from the beginning, you know, and not knowing nobody and not knowing the language. That was the first thing that I always struggled with, you know, like when you literally wanted to go to grocery shopping and you don't know how to communicate with the register people, that you can't talk to them. If you have a question, you can't, you know. It was really hard, but you know, thank God with people around, people like you, like other people I have, good friends, good support from people around us, you know, support is, we always have the support around us, you know, sometimes we don't feel it, but it's always there. We have just to appreciate it. It's there, and just work our way, because support is there. If you don't work yourself out of it, you're not going to feel there's someone, anybody there. Even if someone right next to you, you're not going to feel if you don't work yourself out of the situation. Support will help you with that, being there next to you. And thank God I had really good people around me. They support me all along the way too. And I'm here right now, you know, grinding every day.
Like, yeah, you are. I see you on your hustle, and, you know, and I think your story, I mean, just even what you just shared right there is a great, true, you know, American story, you know, and I can only imagine the process of going through, you know, what you did. I know for Naomi, just to get her visa for Spain was a huge process. So I can imagine, you know, getting, you know, accepted to the US, coming from the Middle East, you know, at the time period you did was probably quite challenging and, you know, but obviously worth it, you know, on the other end. And now you've got a whole support network. And, you know, I really love what you said, though, about making a decision, because that's what this all boils down to in life. And I think, you know, you look at someone like yourself, or, you know, we could cite some of the greats, great personal development, you know, mentors out there right now, like a Gary Vaynerchuk, who, you know, his father, for example, was a immigrant of Russia, right? I think, you know, there in America, anything is possible. And that's why I love, you know, these type of stories. You know, you made your way here.
Everything, everything, you know, everything was just pushing. It doesn't matter if it's pushing and you're still making it out, or it's not happening, as long as you're just moving towards something, or you're waking up every morning that you're putting in your head, this is going to happen and I have to make it. Nobody's seeing your vision, but at least if someone there is supporting you and you see your vision and you can really go straight forward to it, it does not matter if you don't make that step today, but you work for it, that's really good success right there. You know, that's how I felt it, you know. Even sometimes, like, I know I'm struggling with something, you know, and it didn't really happen. Nothing changes in the same day, but I know because I pushed myself today, and it'll change tomorrow, if not tomorrow, the day after, if I keep going, you know. And I noticed that so many times with a lot of people too around me, and you see yourself as stuck, but you're actually not stuck if you keep going, you know. And it's just a feeling, and as long as you just keep it going, and that's how I feel, you know, and you'll get there, you know. It's good opportunities in here, and I'm happy. I'm really happy.
Can you talk a little bit about the, you know, you landed in the U.S., and then you started your first job, and then you kind of quickly, they threw you in the deep end, basically, and you navigated your way quickly and learn the language quickly, and then I think from what I remember you got promoted pretty quickly. Can you just tell, you know, all the listeners out there a little bit of that backstory about how you navigated that?
So when I first came here, I just wanted to do anything, you know. I wanted to work. I was, when I was a kid, I learned always to work, you know. I think when I was like 6-7 years old, I was like kind of a baby entrepreneur and something in a certain way. So I always wanted to do something. When I came here, I was like, okay, I don't want to go to school only to learn English. I want to work, you know, I want to do something. So I just connect with some people that I know, and they told me, hey, there's this job, you want to do it? And it was just valet to drive cars. It was a good job for me. I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Just to drive cars, I don't mind. I'll jump in there. And I literally had to drive every day. I don't know if I told you or not, like, I drive back and forth to Orange County. I live in Orange County and drive to LA for that job every day. It was good for me. And every single day. I literally did it for 5 years, man. And I started working there, and I learned the job really quick. I learned how the business was running. My only problem was I don't speak English, and I can't be face-to-face with customers. And all of a sudden, my boss promoted me and put me a manager at one of the biggest locations on Hollywood. And I was like, boss, I can't do this. I don't speak English. He's like, you'll be fine. You'll go through it. And he actually pushed me. And I was like, okay. And with the risk taking, I'll be like the first one. Yeah, I'll take it. It doesn't matter what's going to happen, but let me just jump and see, taste the water. You know, I always say that to myself in my head. Anything comes in front of me, even if I know it's not going to happen or it's really hard to make it through, I'd be like, let me just jump in it and taste the water, you know, even if it doesn't work. And I got promoted really quick. I was in 3 months, I was a manager there, the manager that didn't speak English. Literally in 6 months, I started communicating with people, talked to all the managers there. It was a nightlife location. And I communicated with all the manager there. Like, I was so impressed with myself because I started speaking. Literally, I started speaking when I did not know like 8 months ago, I did not know how to reply, or I don't understand anything. And from there, I started speaking, and they put me a supervisor of the company, like a few other locations running around. And I started making connections with promoters now, and the promoters that love me, and I started bringing people to them. So now I do two jobs at the same time, and they're both happy. You know, I was not doing something over something else, and they're both happy with me. And then my boss was like, listen, you're doing really great. Just keep it going like that. And if you want to work with other company, you're good. You know, as long as you don't be short on your timing here. I was like, no, everything is perfect. So I did it, and I did a nightlife. I was a VIP host in a nightlife for like 3 years during that time. And I started my business in 2014, end of 2014. With one of my friends, who's my partner, I started it. It was an online business. We only sell online stuff, like, you know, it's all the online shopping pages and stuff. And from there, I created my way, some other way around, and I started meeting people. And someone introduced me to a person who owns the stores. And he asked me if I can provide with stuff, which is I did not know how, what to do with what he's asking me. And again, back to the risk taking, I was like, yeah, I'll do it, which is I didn't know what to do. And a week later, I figured some things out that maybe I can work this out, you know. Just looked around for new connections, people that can help me with that. And thank God, everything went perfect. I got busy, really quick. And then from there, I find out myself, like, it's a good business to do wholesale and straight B2B. I don't deal with a retailer anymore. You know, a retailer, you have to carry a lot of inventory. And I was thinking that way. Like, no, I don't want to carry inventory anymore. I'll go straight B2B. And from there, I start knocking doors, literally walk into any place and talk to managers or owners. They're like, hey, I have this product. And this and that, you know, it's a salesperson thing. And it's been going well. There's ups and downs always along the way, but I can see a vision. It's going in the right way. I hope so, that my vision is right. You know, always we have to put the whole this faith and trust ourselves with decisions. You know, it's our life, and when we make our decisions, you're gonna see people all around you supporting you. You're gonna see people around you not supporting you, not because of hate or anything. Maybe they're too scared for you about something, but it's your decision at the end of the day, and it's your risk. You know, you want to risk it, just go ahead and risk it, and it'll happen. You know, if consistency, it works every single day, it'll work. It really does.
So you changed your strategy then, it sounds like, from online, because I know today you're mostly going, you know, door to door, like you said, right? Like it's yeah, B2B yeah. sales now. So
yeah,
do you still have the online component too?
I do not have the online. I stopped it, you know, because it kind of more work that I have to put in time in it, and it's just I felt it'll be B2B. It's better. You don't have to deal with the inventory. It is a lot of work, labor work to do with the retail more. That I wanted to stay away from. And I feel the profit with the wholesale and B2B, there's no middle person in the middle. It'll be better for me, you know. It's more profit, obviously. When there's a middle person there, the profit will be a little bit less than it's supposed to. And when you go straight to your buyers, the profit will be better, you know. I know it's going to be like going around areas and this and that. I don't mind that. And I'm sure that if someone sees this opportunity and they can make money with that, everybody will wish to do that, you know? That's how I did it.
So I know you call on quite a few accounts every week. About how many are you visiting weekly now?
So weekly, I set my schedule like kind of by territory, every area that I drive around to. Every week I visit about, let's say, about 20, 22 accounts. That's all these accounts are like separated really far from each other. And I have to drive every day. You know, I start my day at 5 in the morning. And I So by the middle of the day, I stop for a few hours. You know, I do my things, the gym and stuff like that, take a break a little bit. And after that, I do another few hours of work too, put some more hours at work. And then that's pretty much what I like, my driving, because it's all I drive myself. And I don't have anybody work with me at this moment, and no employees that I can, because I can cover all that myself. And it's going well.
And how many, I mean, clients do you have now? Is it 22, the same 22 that you call on weekly?
Then? No. Weekly about 22, that's because of their areas, but it's around 50 something. Sometimes it gets ups and downs, you know, sometimes it changes their program, which vendor they want to work with. So like there, I lose, like this month I lose 5 accounts, next month I get 2 more. So it adds up. There's always about 30 locations that it stays as permanent with you. And those are what I want to focus on, you know, because I know most of my money with those people, and I know they're going to be with me for the whole time for now. And they don't have a strategy to changing vendors and stuff. That's where I care more about them and put more effort to visit those people, communicate with them more. You know, like if they see you every single time that, you know, they know your date or the day that you show up, even if you don't need to do anything in the product or send something, you just to show your face and leave. That works really good with them. They like it. A lot of people like it. So I try to do all this with every single customer to just have them with me all the time. With a product, with what I do, they always change vendors, just try to change because of a pricing, because of a quality wise, they want to try something better. They have someone they know they want to deal with. So that's what changes. But in general, it's about between 45 to 50 accounts I have in general. Visiting every week, about 20 to 22. The next week, I go to other area. The week after, some places that I visited 2 weeks ago, I have to go again because they're kind of busy. They want to see me again there. You know, so I just try to work it out like that.
That's great. Yeah, because you've never really broke it down for me like that before, but it sounds like you're basically visiting your accounts, what, every couple weeks. So you've got a core 30 or so. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. About 30, yeah.
So you opened your business in 2014. So how long did it take you to build to your, let's call it core 20 or 30 accounts, those that are loyal? And
it's from end of 2014 until like by 2016, middle of it, it was only online. I don't do anything out of online sales. And after 2016, end of it, I started I did not get close to the wholesale or knocking doors on people. Someone asked me for a favor to provide them stuff like that. And I was like, yes, I'll do it. It was a friend, you know, and I felt it's an opportunity. You know, I was like, yeah, I'll jump in there. I'll see what it is. I jumped there and that's when I started. It took me about 2 years to answer your question. To that point, it took me about a little bit less than 2 years now to build all this about 30 core account, you know?
That's fantastic, Ollie. That's really great, though. Yeah. I mean, and it's a testament to your work ethic. You know, just hearing you talk, you know, hey, up every day at 5 a.m. on the road, make your calls, maybe get your gym in the middle of the day, back out, making more calls. You know, it's no wonder you have a thriving business. And I think a lot of the listeners could learn a lot, you know, from someone like you, right? And a lot of the diehard entrepreneurs that have that grinded out work ethic. Because as much as we love to say there's, you know, a silver bullet or, you know, cutting corners, there isn't. There's no, you know, magic elevator to the top. it's all no, hard work. And
you know, sometimes
time.
Yeah, sometimes people say, oh, this person is lucky, that person is lucky. Trust me, the only lucky one who won the lottery. Anybody else who works really hard, it's not a luck. It's work, you know? It's work. You really have to put a lot of work, a lot of time, you really grind it and you really feel to start from zero. Every single day you're starting from zero again, but it's actually going up. But because you're growing, you feel yourself, you're still in the same place. You know, that's how I felt it like that. You know, sometimes I just be like, I wake up in the morning, I'll be like, oh, I'm going to have to do the same thing I did yesterday. And I talk to myself like, no, but yesterday it was okay. And because I had this and this, you know, it's growing a little bit. It's something better happened, something good happened in there. So there's always one step up, and maybe you don't see it. You feel yourself, you're still like right on the edge or something, but actually you're growing. As long as you put your hours in, you put your mind in it, it comes up to you, you know, pays off everything.
It's kind of like compounding interest in a bank account. You know, exactly, there's a great book called the Multiplier Effect, right? And you can apply that to a lot of things, but certainly in business, and certainly when you're you know, you have that stacking effect day in and day out. Like you said, it might feel like the same routine, but routines, especially when they're working and done over and over and over again, they're not crazy. It's good. It's basically just, you know, part of your business.
It's really good, yeah. It's you keep practicing, same as everybody else. Like every sport person, if you play a lot of sport and you're good at it, you're gonna really be skilled at it. You know, it's the same way. You keep doing what you want to do all the time, over and over again, you're gonna get a lot of skills in it. It's not something. It's not gonna pay off at the end. You know.
Yeah, it's like what they say. You know, repetition is the mother of skill. Right. So Tony Robbins, you know, has been quoted as saying that. And so, yeah, the monotony can feel monotonous at times, but that's where we really learn to sharpen the saw. And I love that you've really adopted that principle. Sorry, I thought I heard Bruce chiming in there.
No, it's okay. That's good stuff. What a great story, and kind of a great kind of an American story, right? Bootstrap up with the first job and move forward from there. So Ali, what would be the end? What is the end game moving forward?
So I don't know if I don't know where the water comes from. Yeah. So right now, I'm trying to just keep focusing on my business until I get to a point that I want to have someone to help me. But I want to have a strategy that I can have that person work for the company, feeling the company is them, you know, when they put good time and they care. You know, a lot of people, they think, oh, I don't want to put someone, they don't really care about the business. It's not their business. They're just going to want to get their salary and stuff like that. So I'm trying to build it like, I want to get to a point to build a good team that I care about the business, to put it running, grow it. Of course, I want to grow it really big. And I have an example in my head that I want to be like. And there's someone back home that I know used to do the same business that I do right now. And this person is really successful what he does. And he is really huge in the area. He supplies most of the countries around. So that's my vision that I want to get big enough to supply a lot of people, you know, a lot of areas and cover a lot of places. That's one of the things. And I'm in the process. I don't know if Justin mentioned that or not. I'm in the process to do a real estate too. About to get into real estate, hopefully soon, until I find my way or time a little bit more. I want to get to a real estate too. I feel that's something that I can really be good at. And I feel I have the salesperson personality, and I want to use it in every single way, you know. I want to get it to work, you know. And selling a lot of things, everything, it doesn't matter what you sell, you're actually selling yourself, that people, when they like you, they get your product. It's not what you're selling, you know, it's the way you presented it, the way people like you, the way you talk to them. And I feel I can be in that business too. So I'm going to try my luck with it. I hope it'll be a good decision. I hope it won't be a really big risk. But this is my thinking for hopefully the next 5 years, I'll see big difference in there, you know?
So, I mean, how, like, just if you were to put a number out there, and you don't have to talk revenue if that makes you uncomfortable, but let's talk, you talked about team, you want to build a team. So what would be success? What would success look like you from a team building perspective for your current business?
So because, you know, I know how I dealt with my previous job. And when I used to run my dad's business, I know how to deal with everybody, you know, like everybody used to like me and they like to work for me. I'm really strict at work, but they love to work with me, you know. They know Ali is not going to be okay with things like that. He's so strict with things, but they still love to work with Ali because everything is set on place. Nothing is going to go wrong. And if anything wrong, I'll be the face. I'm always there. You know, I don't leave my people. I'm always with them. The team, I'll be their face. If there's a problem, if there's a solution, we all celebrate problem. I'll face it first and I can have them help me with it, you know? And I'm trying to find like to get to a point when I get to a point to, I need help in around my work. I'm going to try to pick good people, teach them how that business is running. And I would love to have 100% people in my team, but it's kind of really far for now, but I want to make it big, you know, I want to have my people around me, you know,
you gotta, good people you gotta, that they work. Got to have a number though, right? Like, you know, once you set a number, you know, now it makes
sense. For now, I want to have it something like I want to have 5 people that it can help me. Hopefully, within the next 2 years, that I can have people with me can help me with that. It's kind of possible in some ways if it goes the way it's going right now. If it comes ups and downs, probably within the next 2 years, I'm gonna need 2-3 people with me. Right now, I don't mind I do all the work. Until it gets really big that I need to have someone with me, hopefully within a year or two, I'm going to have to hire people with me, you know, to just to help me out with the business.
How many, is it a certain number of accounts or that you need to, I guess, achieve?
If I get to 70, or let's say if I get to 50 core accounts, then I'm going to need people with me. You know, because 30 I can cover right now. It's not a problem. Sometimes I get late one day or something, but I'm still covering everything. Once I get to 50 core account, let's say like people that are permanent with me, I'm gonna need someone to cover an area for me. You know, I need like 2 people to do that work there, so I can focus somewhere else. I'm gonna start focusing once I get people helping me out. I'm going to have a little bit more time that I can focus how to reach out to more client. You know, I don't have to go knock doors. Now I can go knock doors on the corporate office that I can deal with straight 20 accounts one shot, you know. And that's, right now I'm dealing with a single store owner. Oh, they own about 5 of them. But once it gets bigger, I can go reaching out to corporate offices that they own like 20 or 30 locations or something. Once you get to that point, I mainly have to be available to deal with those people, and I have my team that taking care of the business, you know?
Yeah, so you talked about moving from like a territory model to a B2B strategic coverage model is what we would call it, or what I would call it in my line of work. That's cool. Well, it sounds like you've put a lot of thought to it, and you're clearly doing a lot of, you know, right things. Now, what would you say are the couple key reasons why you're able to acquire your core 30? Is it just, you know, they like you? Is it because you show up on time every time? Like, what are some of the reasons why people want to say, hey, I want to give you my wholesale electronics business?
I feel like when they keep seeing your face, you know, when I know some of them, like they did not want to deal with me in the first place because they don't want to get started with someone and they leave. So what I did is, like, I show up every single day. I literally did that. Like, I know, I tell them, I go and knock their door, talk to whoever's in charge in there. I'll be like, I can take care of that business for you in that location because I'm here every Wednesday. And I make sure to go next time on the Wednesday and walk in, even if they don't need me. I did that with a few people that I don't even have a business with. Until they saw me for like a month or like 6 weeks, I always show up on the same day that I said I'm there, you know. I show up there. It's like repeatedly in the same day. And sometimes at the end of a month or something, they look at me and they smile and they know, oh, is it Wednesday today? And they literally start knowing like what day I show up. Even if I'm not selling anything to them, just wanted to ask them again, hey, do you want business with me or something? You know, like some people, they don't want to deal with someone when they don't trust they're going to show up all the time. And I'll be like, hey, I'm here again. Right. Do you want to do business with me? So they kind of like the way I treat the client. And I take care of my product. You know, I just go there, just look around. Even if I know this location is not going to need anything from me, I'm not going to make any sale today, I just walk in and show my face, just look around and see my product in there. Everything is perfect. Let's check on my display, see if they have anything returned and stuff like that. You know, the details of the business, and take care of everybody, say hi and leave. You know, it's a good relationship with the client that they really like it. You know, a lot of people, they really love to see you all the time. And they really, and some of them, they really make friends with me. Like, you know, I get there and then, oh, let's hang out. I took my break 30 minutes. You want to have lunch? You know, it's like that. And I would love to have that lunch with them. You know, I sit and I talk and I have my lunch with them. I get to know them more. And I actually made a lot of business with people like that. They'd be like, hey, I have my cousin. I have this person. They have a store like that. Do you want to go talk to them? And, or I need something like that, can you provide me? And so I opened windows, you know, and that's what actually was happening. Consistency. I was there all the time. You know, the day they supposed to see me, they see me. They're not disappointed. You know, I don't disappoint them. And if I say, if they call me, hey, can you come on this day? We need the product or something like that. I'll be like, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow by this time. Or I'll be there on that day by this time. Exactly. And I have to show up. You know, I go there exactly on the right time. Even if I don't have anything in that specific area, I just show up. You know, this is how I made the trust between me and them. And that's how they didn't want to deal with any other vendors. I'm not competing with anybody. I'm just doing my job, trying to do it in the right way. You know, that's what I want to do, because I love to do something. When I do something, I love to do it 100% right, if not 200% right, you know.
I know that about you for sure. I definitely see that, you know, with you day in and day out, and it's fun to watch. And I'm curious too, you know, what is what are your top, I guess, best sellers? Do you have some best sellers?
Oh well, it's all phone products. You know, all the phone products that gets ruined really quick. I'll tell you right now, it's your iPhone cable. Let's say. If you're using iPhone, a lot of people lose their iPhone cables all the time. It's a cable. It's a charging cable. You lose it all the time. That's what something. And sometimes certain product, it depends on the area. You know, if you're close to the beach, you sell certain product. If you're close to the residential area, you sell certain product. If you're close to the business area or commercial area, that's you sell more certain product. You know, if you're close to the airport, you sell something else. You know, I learned that throughout the time that I was working, like I started noticing, oh, why this location is selling a lot of this item and not that item, and the other location is vice versa. And I started wondering, and then I was like, oh, okay, those people, because there's a lot of residential, they use stuff like that more, you know, or this area is like this, you know. For an example, like people, my accounts next to the airport, let's say close to the airport, they sell a lot of this. Cars equipment, like anything connected to a car with the phone, that gets sold there really quick. And I learned that. I didn't know in the beginning. Like, why would they sell a lot of car stuff, you know? That's because a lot of people rent a car and leave the airport and they need things for their phone. So they need to buy it. And I learned that from there, you know? It was a lot of interesting learning during the throughout the time, you know?
All the little tips and tricks to continue to, you know, conduct business development in the right way. Well, this has been an absolute treat. Yeah, I was just going to say, this has been an absolute treat. And I think for the listeners out there, I know we often talk about coaching, and there's definitely coaching interwoven with Ollie's story. But today, you know, I hope you gleaned from just listening to him, this was basically business development and account management 101. You know, it's basically the business that you run. And again, hats off to you, Ollie. You're doing something special, and you're doing it right. And so I know we only got about a minute left, so I want to make sure we give the listeners a chance to, you know, just acquaint themselves with you. So where is a good place for, you know, any listeners out there to reach you?
Well, my phone number, you have it on the post, and my personal, I don't have a business page. It's a personal page. It's I can tell you, it's Amino, A-M-E-N-O, 2000. My name is Ali Mahmoud, and they can reach me out there, and I'll be happy if anything that I can help with, you know, it's my pleasure, you know.
Ali, thank you so much for joining our podcast today. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for this invite or opportunity. Thanks, Bruce. Thanks, Justin.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, folks, so another great show here on the Concierge Coaches Show, LA Talk Radio. Feel free to go by our various social media outlets, the Concierge Coaches on Instagram, on Facebook, and on LinkedIn. Also, we are on Apple Podcasts. All of our shows are archived and available for free for you to download or listen to anytime on Apple Podcasts. And also, of course, we have our own page on the latalkradio.com. Concierge Coaches has its own page. All the shows are archived for you there again as well for free download and for playing with its own URL dedicated player. I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Nimmergood.com.
Alrighty then. So until next week, everybody have a blessed week out there. And we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.